This morning, the Reproductive Healthcare Reform Bill was introduced to the New South Wales Parliament by Independent MP Alex Greenwich. With a record number of co-sponsors ranging from parties across the floor, abortion, made part of the criminal code in the early 1900s, is set to be legalised in New South Wales. Yet, many wonder whether the high cost and limited support for abortion services will also shift. I spoke with New South Wales member for Newtown and Greens spokeswoman for women's rights, Jenny Leong, on how the bill will be tackling this.
What is really important about this bill is the conscientious objection clause and the idea that if a doctor does not want to proceed with providing that advice, that they need to recommend and refer the person on to another medical professional who they believe or understand will be able to deliver that service. Now, that is crucial because, as we know, it takes a lot of guts for someone to make the step in a stressful situation where they discover they are pregnant and they don't want to be pregnant.
With no support from public healthcare in New South Wales, accessing abortion services comes at a high cost. For many, travelling interstate where abortion is legal is a safer option. I spoke with Dr. Catherine Orr, the lead clinician at Gateway Health in Wodonga, on the difference legalisation makes.
The number of doctors that are active and happy to provide abortion in all its forms is starkly different on both sides of the border. And doctors repeatedly say, you know, I've done the training, I'm ready to go, I just need the law to support me in New South Wales. And we have women contacting us from Condobolin, from Cobar, and it's such an imposition on the women themselves, having to travel all that distance, take time off, get child mining for their kids.
Dr. Orr explained that larger healthcare providers such as Marie Stopes are only willing to risk the illegality of abortion services in New South Wales because they have a large organisation behind them, which GPs don't have access to. Yet, supporting abortion services in a GP setting would ensure low cost and safety for patients.
I think we've got to support the provision of particularly medical termination of pregnancy in a GP setting. I have lobbied the federal government to provide a Medicare ISIN number for medical termination of pregnancy.
Although the bill has a multitude of support, there are many opposing the changes. Yesterday, New South Wales Finance Minister Damien Tude-Hope described the bill as unjust and illiberal and raised concerns that it wouldn't pass the pub test. Leong views opposition to the bill as a continuation of men trying to control women's bodies through legislation.
What is completely clear is that these discussions are not discussions that should be happening in a pub. They should be happening in a reproductive health clinic or with medical professionals, and they should be happening in the privacy of people's own homes who are making these choices. Now, the idea that anyone would think that the tough decision to be made is whether or not we should decriminalise abortion is just missing the point. The tough decision sits with the person who is making that decision, and they need to be adequately supported with the right advice, the right healthcare, the right personal and social support to be able to make the decision that is right for them.
On Wednesday morning, pro-choice advocates rallied at New South Wales State Parliament to show their support for the bill as parliamentarians entered the building. Spilling off the pathway and onto Macquarie Street, the crowd was addressed by Chair of the Pro-Choice Alliance, Wendy McCarthy. I spoke with Wendy on how the bill will protect both doctors and patients.
I started this in 1968, my first abortion law reform meeting with my brand new baby, because I could see how they actually went together. Having the choice whether or not to have a baby, when to have a baby and how to have a baby seemed to me about the most important thing I could think of as a young teacher and emerging feminist. And I believe strongly that this is the best piece of legislation in Australia. And we've had the benefit, by being the last off the block, to look at the Victorian and the Queensland most recent work and passing the bill. And this is a bill that creates a whole new platform of equality between a woman and her doctor. And in a way that we haven't seen before. They're both protected. They can both make these decisions, individual decisions, knowing that the law protects their decision and cannot be challenged.
For Laura, accessing an illegal abortion was a terrifying experience. This led her to protest for its legality to ensure that no one else had to endure the shame she felt.
About 10 years ago, I had an abortion right on this street, And at the time, I was in a really toxic relationship. And I went into the clinic and I had to sign this piece of paper that said that what I was doing in some capacity was a crime in New South Wales. And I felt such shame from that experience that the only way I could justify my decision was to stay with that person for longer. I'm finally out of that relationship, but I don't want any young woman to feel that she needs to feel shame for accessing her reproductive health rights.
Mental health issues are commonly brought up as a side effect of going through an abortion. Dr. Orr, who provides complementary psychologist sessions for patients post-abortion, has a different view. She cites the stress of accessing reproductive health services illegally as more concerning.
I really like to dispel the myth that abortion has a whole lot of long-term psychological consequences. RANZCOG, which is the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Obstetrician and Gynaecologists, have studied this. And they found that after an abortion, most women actually experience an immediate sense of relief and that long-term sequelae are exceedingly rare.
With the bill being set to be debated next week, those opposing the change of law are concerned that it will limit the rights of people of faith and will push abortion as the first option for pregnant women. Abortion rights have been a polarising issue worldwide in the past year, yet Ms Leong is positive about the future of these rights in New South Wales.
What we know is that it is not the start and it is not the end of men trying to make laws over women's bodies. But what we also know is that there has never been a time where the feminist movement, where the pro-choice movement has been as global and as strong. And that is something that we should take heart in and recognise that actually this is an ongoing and global struggle for what are reproductive rights around the world. In New South Wales, we have the chance to be going the right way with these reforms by making these changes that are long, long overdue. And hopefully that's what we see happen in the coming weeks.
Laura also echoed this sentiment in her outlook on pro-choice activism as she protested yesterday morning.
I walked out of that clinic and I was like, I am telling no one about this ever again, and just kind of sat with it. Yeah, and it wasn't until through that experience, everyone has their story of how they're introduced to feminism, right? And it wasn't till that experience that I got introduced to these different narratives about, actually, no, you didn't do anything wrong and it's okay to exercise your right to choose about your own future and your body. And so now you can't shut me up. Like, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. That's why I'm here, 10 years later, protesting or rallying in support of this reform.